नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 72 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द स्लेइंग ऑफ द डीमन जरासंध। श्रीशुक उवाच स्वरैराकृतिभिस्तांस्तु प्रकोष्ठैर्ज्याहतैरपि राजन्यबन्धून् विज्ञाय दृष्टपूर्वान् चिन्तयात्। श्रीशुक उवाच स्वरैराकृतिभिस्तांस्तु प्रकोष्ठैर्जाहतैरपि राजन्यबन्धून् विज्ञाय दृष्टपूर्वान् चिन्तयत्। श्रीशुक उवाच स्वरैराकृतिभिस्तांस्तु प्रकोष्ठैर्ज्याहतैरपि राजन्यबन्धून् विज्ञाय दृष्टपूर्वान् चिन्तयत्। स्वरैराकृतिभिस्तांस्तु प्रकोष्ठैर्जाहतैरपि राजन्यबन्धून् विज्ञाय दृष्टपूर्वान् चिन्तय। श्रीशुक उवाच माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच राजन्यबन्धून् विज्ञाय श्रीशुक उवाच। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड स्वरैः बाय देयर वॉइसेस आकृतिभिः देयर बॉडीली स्टेचर्स तान् देम टू However, prakoshthai, by seeing their forearms, jya, by bowstrings, hataihi, imprinted, api, even, rajanya, of royalty, bandhun, as family members, vidnyaya, recognizing, drishta, seen, पूर्वान् प्रीवियसली अचिन्तयत् ही कन्सिडर्ड translation purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Sukhdev Goswami said, "From the sound of their voices, their physical stature and the marks of bowstrings on their forearms, Jarasandha could tell that his guests were of the royal order. He began to think he had seen them somewhere before." Purport. The Acharyas point out that Jarasandha had seen Lord Krishna, Bhimasena and Arjuna at Draupadi's Swayamvar ceremony. Since they had come begging in the guise of Brahmanas, Jarasandha thought they must be low-class Kshatriyas, as indicated here by the word Rajanya Bandhun. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So here we find, we are continuing with the episode of Jarasandha, how Krishna, Bhima and Arjun, upon the suggestion of Uddhava, went to the capital of Jarasandha and is about to ask him for a duel fight. They have approached him in the guise of a Brahmana, disguised themselves as Brahmanas and going to ask for charity. So we know how, why they didn't directly go and challenge for a war, because that may cause a lot of bloodshed. So here Uddhava has suggested, as we saw in the previous few chapters, he suggested that they should disguise themselves as Brahmanas and only ask for a duel fight. And Krishna will orchestrate everything and help Bhima to kill Jarasandha. That is the whole idea. So that Yudhishthira's Rajasuya sacrifice can also be successfully performed. So here Jarasandha, upon seeing all three of them, is noticing their Kshatriya bodily features. And then he's wondering why they are begging for charity. Begging for a fight. Begging come to beg something. Because from their physical features they are looking like powerful kings. And it is said that a Kshatriya should never beg in any circumstance. In the 7th canto, there's a description of the four social orders and spiritual orders. Narad Muni is describing the characteristics of a bona fide Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. What are their activities, occupations? So there he goes on, he gives a big list of Brahminical qualities, Kshatriya qualities. And we often find Prabhupada talking about Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu means someone who has deviated from Brahminical activities. He may be born in a Brahmana family but not displaying brahminical qualities. So Brahma Bandhu means one who is related to the Brahmana class but not exactly displaying brahminical characteristics. So here Jarasandha is using the term Rajanya Bandhu, which is similar to Kshatra Bandhu. Someone who is connected with the Kshatriya order but not necessarily showing the characteristics of a Kshatriya. So there in the 7th canto, Narad Muni is talking about, he gives a list. And he says there, if any of the three upper classes, Brahmana, Vaishya, Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya, they may adopt the occupation of a lower class only in case of emergency. But a person born in a lower class should not take the occupation of a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or any of the higher classes. Like for example, a Kshatriya or a Vaishya should not take the occupation of Brahmana, which is to teach Vedic knowledge. That should be done exclusively by the Brahmanas. But in case of an emergency, if there is an emergency, then some things can be adjusted. So Prabhupada writes a nice purport in that connection. He says, the occupational duty of a Brahmana should not be accepted by persons in lower social orders, especially Vaishyas and Shudras. For example, an occupational duty of a Brahmana is to teach Vedic knowledge. But unless there is an emergency, this professional duty should not be accepted by the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas or Shudras. Even a Kshatriya cannot accept the duties of a Brahmana unless there is an emergency. And then, even if he does so, he should not accept charity from anyone else. Should not accept charity. Sometimes Brahmanas protest against our Krishna consciousness movement for creating Brahmanas from Europeans, or in other words, from Lechas and Yavanas. This movement, however, is here supported in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the present moment, society is in a chaotic condition, and everyone has given up the cultivation of spiritual life, which is especially meant for the Brahmanas. Because spiritual culture has been stopped all over the world, there is now an emergency. And therefore it is now time to train those who are considered lower and condemned, so that they may become Brahmanas and take up the work of spiritual progress. The spiritual progress of human societies has been stopped, and this should be considered an emergency. Here is solid support from Narad Muni of the movement known as Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada is justifying his action of awarding initiation and Brahminical order to the Western devotees, although they are born in non-Brahminical families, because it's an emergency situation. But here it is mentioned how a Kshatriya should never beg even if there is an emergency. So therefore, anyone who begs, especially a Kshatriya, is a deviant Kshatriya. And here we find Krishna, Bhima and Arjun are going to beg charity. Therefore, Jarasandha, who is aware of the Vedic principles, he is thinking that these are all fallen Kshatriyas, as the purport says. Jarasandha thought they must be low-class Kshatriyas, therefore he is using the term Rajanya Bandhu. So, as we know, as Kali Yuga started and the condition of the society degraded, Prabhupada says that the time when Sringi cursed Parikshit, that's the time when Brahminical order fell down from its position. And similarly, when Brahmanas became fallen, Kshatriyas felt, why should we follow the Brahmanas? And then they started taking decisions independently, started ruling independently without consulting the Brahminical order. And then Kshatriyas started exploiting, they became dictators. And then Vaishyas started revolting. They felt these people are just ruling and enjoying sense gratification, taxing us, exploiting all, extracting all money. So Vaishyas revolted. And they started ruling and holding power. And then we have Shudras revolting. Communist class revolting, laborer class revolting. In this way, revolutions keep happening every now and then. As long as any class is exploiting the lower class, a union or a movement will arise from the lower class, and they will form a movement which will gain momentum and eventually throw out the upper class. And then the lower class will take hold power, And then they will start exploiting their juniors, their low, their people who are low under them. So history is full of such examples where every exploited class is revolting against the exploiter class. Unless that original Varnashram system is re-established and Devi Varnashram with Krishna in the center, devotional service and devotion service to Krishna in the center. If that is not there, then every class, as soon as they get some power, energy and control, they will start misusing the power and exploit the people, and revolutions will keep happening. So Prabhupada writes again, in time of emergency, one may accept any of the various types of profession known as Rita, Amrita, he gives a list, but should not at any time accept the profession of a dog. Shovritti, he says. The profession of Unchashila, or collecting grains on the field, is called Rita. Trade is called Satyandrata. Engaging the service of low-grade persons is called Shwavritti, profession of a dog. Specifically, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas should not engage in the low and abominable service of Shudras. Brahmana should be well acquainted with all the Vedic knowledge, and Kshatriya should be well acquainted with the worship of demigods. So, in the modern society, we have, Prabhupada says, everyone is a Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Even the people born in so-called Brahmana families are Shudras. Shudra means anyone who has a master, who is bound to obey the orders of his master for earning a living, especially. Dependence on a superior. Not an independent profession, not earning separately without reporting to anyone, without the need for reporting to anyone. Anyone who can do that, then he is one of the three upper classes. So Brahmanas teach yajna, what is that? Patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dana, pratigraha. All these activities are Brahmanical activities, and they don't have to report to a boss. Kshatriyas are rulers, they are the boss. Vaishyas are running independent businesses. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam. They don't have to report to someone. But for all three classes, they have assistants. Laborers, and those are the Shudras. So anyone who is earning independently is considered a person from the higher class. Therefore, in the modern society, if you find few people holding big powerful positions, running multinational corporations, are controlling the majority of the population. Everyone is an employee and dependent on earning money upon the few multi-billionaires and millionaires. Therefore, majority of the population is Shudras. Therefore, if these people become greedy and exploiters, then there is a big social chaos. And the whole society is in trouble. Most of the wealth is under the control of these few people. And everyone then there is a big gap between the rich class and the poor class. And the gap keeps widening. And there is poverty increasing continuously. Rich people will keep becoming richer, millionaires and billionaires, and the poor people will keep becoming poorer and poorer. So that's a very unbalanced situation. So proper Varnashram means proper distribution of wealth, and everyone getting an opportunity to become independent earners of living. They don't have to depend on others' efforts. So same point of Rajanya Bandhu appears in the section of Krishna marrying one of the wives called Nagnajiti. There also you find how Krishna approaches the king, the father of the princess Nagnajiti, and he has arranged a swayamvar, he has arranged seven bulls, wild bulls, and any candidate who wants to marry the princess has to fight these bulls. So Krishna goes with a big army and begs for charity from the father of the princess. And he says, although we are from the royal order, here we are. I have come to beg because I consider you as my dear friend. So there also the term Rajanya Bandhu comes up. Because begging is not the profession of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is never supposed to go take up that profession. So, but Krishna begs, nevertheless. And that is, the king accepts it as a friendly gesture and hands over his daughter to Krishna. So here we find how Jarasandha, by looking at the physical features of these three people, is able to recognize their order. Face is the index of the mind, Prabhupada used to say several times. Looking at the faces of devotees or karmis or anyone, you get an idea of what their mental constitution is. If someone is happy, that will be reflected on their face. They will start radiating joy and cheerfulness through their physical actions, from their behavior, from their talk, from their speech. Someone who is morose and disturbed within, that will be reflected. And he would several times tell to in public classes how his disciples are effulgent because they have accepted the process of Krishna consciousness. They are dancing white elephants, he would say several times. Because they are in touch with Krishna, they are happy and joyful and cheerful. And he says in Kali Yuga, everyone is miserable because they are separated from family members. People have to travel long distances just to reach their workplace, and they are separated from family members. Family members feel separated from their wife and children, feel separated from their father and husband. And therefore, there is constant anxiety whether we can meet them again. And that puts them in a miserable condition. And therefore, that is visible on their faces. Kali Yuga residents are miserable, upadruta, disturbed always. So, this science is called physiognomy, I think. Where reading physical bodily features, you get to know what their emotional and mental state is. So, in previous centuries, this was quite common. This became almost like a science, where people devoted a lot of years to study the characteristics of people. Spies would study physical features so that they can understand the motive of the enemy. Is it something they are coming to destroy us, or in a friendly manner? Those kind of things were studied in great detail. But then eventually that got lost, and it's not taken so seriously nowadays. But in scriptures we find several stories where people have been analyzed. Like few examples we have, how Karna, the story of Karna, Parashurama was able to identify, because he could tolerate that pain of that insect biting his thigh, blood flowing, and that only a Kshatriya could tolerate. And therefore Parashuram could recognize he is lying, come as a Brahmana, disguised as a Brahmana, but actually he is a Kshatriya. Then we have the story of that Gautam Muni identifying that boy who came to study under him, and when he asked him, "What's your caste?" he said, "I don't know, because my mother was taken to the profession of a prostitution, so I couldn't recognize. I don't know who my father is." And he openly, frankly said this. So just by that honesty and frankness, Gautam Muni could identify, this is a Brahmana boy, and he could accept him as a disciple. In the Ramayana, we find how when Ram and Lakshman, dressed as ascetics, was about to approach Sugriva for alliance, Sugriva sent Hanumanji to check, who are these people? Are they Vali's messengers, or are they just roaming ascetics? And Hanumanji came and looked at their physical features, and he could notice, although they are dressed like ascetics, sages, but their physical features don't look like they are sages. They look like people from the royal order. Right? So even in Narad Muni's case, when he saw Dhruva Maharaj, he could feel, such a small boy, but such a strong determination. This is a sign of a Kshatriya. So strong determination we find in the Gita, how Krishna says, heroism, courage, these are the symptoms of a Kshatriya. Shamo damastha paushocham is a characteristic of a Brahmana. So all these qualities are reflected in our physical features, in our speech. Any emotion will be reflected in our words, speech and actions. And that can bring out someone who is expert in this science can make out what is the characteristic of such a person, what is the nature of such a person. So, in the Gita we find Krishna talking about charity in three modes. Jarasandha is wondering, why are these people coming to beg? How should I give my charity? He even thinks of, okay, anyway, since they have come disguised as a Brahmana, I am ready to offer even my body. Because Bali Maharaj attained eternal fame just by surrendering everything to Lord Vishnu. Although he disobeyed the order of Shukracharya, just because he was charitable, he became eternally famous. So similarly, I don't mind giving up my body even if they ask for it. He was determined to fulfill their request. But in the Gita, Krishna says how their charity is in three modes. Charity in the mode of goodness is charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada writes in the purport, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. There is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. Spiritual perfection is always a consideration. Therefore, charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage and at lunar or solar eclipses, or at the end of the month, or to a qualified Brahmana or a Vaishnava, or in temples. This is the place and time when charity should be done. Such charity should be given without any consideration of return. Dattavyam diyate anupakarine. Without expectation of return. Charity to the poor is sometimes given out of compassion. But if the poor man is not worthy giving charity to, then there is no spiritual advancement. In other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. I was recently in Vrindavan. I found one person had a big thela, that rolling vehicle, and it was full of Coke bottles, plastic Coke bottles, and he is filling out bottle, glass after glass, and handing out to people, pilgrims who are doing parikrama. That is the charity he is doing, and people are coming and gulping down glass after glass Coke. So, and he's proudly doing that, proud to do some social service, devotional pilgrim service. So this kind of charity, we don't know what mode it is in, but it's already causing environmental, so many plastic lying down there, bottles, bottle after bottle, dam pollution. Such charity is not recommended. But then we find other people who are distributing prasad, free prasad to so many pilgrims, free water, welcoming them, giving them places to sit. So that kind of charity is in the mode of goodness, especially done to devotees in a place of pilgrimage, in a dham. And that will award us spiritual advancement. Charity in the mode of fashion, Krishna says, when it is performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be in the mode of passion. Diyate cha parikleshtam tad danam rajasam smrutam. Parikleshtam, with grudging mood. Pratyupakarartham, with expectation of return. Phalam uddishya. Charity is sometimes performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom, and sometimes with great trouble and with repentance afterwards. Oh, I gave so much, I lost so much money. Why have I spent so much in this way? Charity is also sometimes given under some obligation at the request of a superior. That means, I am not willing to give charity, but someone has ordered me to give charity, therefore I am giving. These kinds of charity are said to be in the mode of passion. There are many charitable foundations which offer their gifts to institutions where sense gratification goes on. Such charities are not recommended in the Vedic scripture, Prabhupada writes. And then he says, charity in the mode of ignorance. Charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy people, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Proper attention and respect is not given to the person who is receiving it. He is in the mode of ignorance. Contributions for indulgence in intoxication and gambling are not encouraged here. That sort of contribution is a mode of ignorance. Such charity is not beneficial to anyone. Rather, sinful people are encouraged. Similarly, if a person gives charity to a suitable person but without respect and without attention, that sort of charity is in the mode of darkness. So therefore, we should be very careful whenever we are donating our hard-earned money to anyone. Not every institution, every organization, every person who is receiving the charity may use it for the right purpose. And we may wonder, oh, ultimately everything is the same. That is not exactly the same. There are gradations in every field, in every area. So there are charity also, or any activity can be graded according to the mode in which we are operating. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended, and best is charity in Krishna, for Krishna consciousness, for distributing the message of Krishna. So therefore, we have this month of the marathon. We have Gita Dan facility last day today of the Gita Jayanti month. And if you are interested in giving charity, you are encouraged to donate for distributing the Gitas. So here we find Jarasandha. He is having so much faith and respect towards the Brahminical order. And one may wonder why he should be termed as a demon when he is offering so much charity. Karna is also was a very charitable person, but he is considered a demon. So how Jarasandha, why should Jarasandha be a demon when he is so loyal to the Brahmanas and following their order, obedient to the Brahmanas? What makes a demon? A demon is not the external, but the motives. Especially, at least we find modern demons and Vedic demons, this is the difference. They had at least faith in the Brahminical order, they had faith in the scriptures, they had faith in the power of tapasya. We find Ravana and Hiranyakashipu doing intense tapasya just to fulfill their material desires. Modern demons won't do even that. They don't want to engage in tapasya, they don't have faith in superiors. Everything they want to achieve through their own individual power and strength and efforts. But there's one common thing between the two. Both the demons, whether modern or Vedic or ancient, their motive is selfish, and they are against the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. They are disobedient. They don't accept Krishna's supremacy and devotion service unto him as the essence of Vedic culture. So externally they may follow all the details of Vedic culture and etiquettes, donations and charity and sacrifices, tapasya, everything what they may do, even mantra, japa, everything they may do, but the motive is to control, to gain control and power and rule over. So Jarasandha's idea of charity was to gain power so that he could annex all the kingdoms and become the king of all the land. He had so many kings imprisoned and he wanted to sacrifice them in the altar. So therefore we should be careful to distinguish who is a demon, who is not a demon. That mood, the attitude is what distinguishes a demon from a devotee, or a demigod from a asura. So therefore we find even today where there are many philanthropists who engage in a lot of philanthropic work, but they are not necessarily devotees, or they are not necessarily theists, believers in God and believers in followers of religious principles. They may do lot of social work, they may hold, organize government and non-governmental organizations, may head non-governmental organizations which is helping so many people in the rural areas, so many areas, for the handicapped, for the blind, for the medically sick people. But if you ask them their theological understanding, what is their ideology, their idea is, we are doing something which God couldn't do. God has created such a system that so many people are suffering. What kind of God is that? Therefore, we have to act and help people fulfill that missing thing. And most people are staunch atheists. They are against Vedic principles. So therefore, we need to be clear about this. Varnashram system, as we find today, is Prabhupada wanted the system again to be re-established. But the condition of Kali Yuga especially is so degraded that it is almost impossible to re-establish the Varnashram system. And devotees who are trying to sincerely practice Krishna consciousness may find it difficult how to adjust in such a situation, especially in the culture where most of the corporations are indulging in sinful activities. We may be working for these people. Our occupations may not be directly favorable towards Krishna conscious well-being of the entire society. And just to maintain earn our living, we may be forced to work with these people and somehow chant our 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. But as far as possible, if we have an option, we should try to switch over and take up an occupation that is less sinful or ideally more conducive to Krishna consciousness, and in that way be a part of re-establishing the Varnashram system in society. So therefore Prabhupada wanted farm communities to come up, and so many other devotional occupations where devotees can be engaged so that their Krishna conscious practices can be kept secure. Otherwise, we may be following the essence of Krishna consciousness, but if the environment around us is not favorable, then it is difficult to sustain it for a long run. So thank you so much for your patient listening. Anyone has any comment or question can say. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.